And he is testing us. Every day, our Lord is testing us. If he wasn't testing us, how would you account for the sorry state of our society? For the crimes that plague the big cities of this country? When he could sweep this pestilence from the face of the earth with one mighty gesture of his hand. If our Lord wasn't testing us, how would you account for the proliferation these days of this obscene rock and roll music with its gospel of easy sexuality and relaxed morality?
You won't get any dancing here. It's illegal. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 177, and this show mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me today, Brian, coming up behind us, the incredible Barfmobile Dunaway.
Ah, yes. No, no, no! Satan is not in these books! Oh, wait, this is Necronomicon. The devil actually is in this book. Oh, and Catch on the Rye, burn it! All right, I'm going home to take a long shower and judge myself. I suggest you do the same. Ah, the Great Gatsby. Last one, I promise. Burn, baby, burn.
Stream of consciousness right there. Also with us, Randy, never play chicken on a tractor with an untied shoelace, Jordan.
Yes. Aloha, Scott. Brian. Good to see you. We've got a full workup here. Thanks for coming right into the clinic on a Saturday morning. So my nurse tells me you were angst dancing in a dark old abandoned industrial complex last night. Never heard that one before, but we're going to treat you for a concussion, two broken ribs, tetanus, a sprained ankle, asbestos inhalation, a chipped tooth, food poisoning, black lung, eye strain, and chlamydia, but I'm pretty sure you already had that when you moved to town because chlamydia won't make it to this part of Utah for another 20 years.
That's right. Ooh, first reference. I like it. Finally, Brian, I don't remember there being so much gymnastics in this thing, Ebbett.
Yeah, no kidding. So what kind of asshole shows up late to the prom that he spent months organizing and begged the town to allow him to throw?
Good point.
The burger question.
What did he say he came in? I thought this was a party. Let's dance. Oh, and no. Then the glitter
flew. The first time he comes in, late, everybody's just sitting around like, well, told us all to show up here for this thing.
Nobody would dance. They were playing.
And then at the bottom of the invitation, it says, nobody's allowed to dance until me and my girlfriend get
right
here.
Yeah. Well, and also late, the confetti throwers. The sparkle throwers were later even. Mm. So they had to get, Ren, go outside. Don't come back in until the sparkle throwers show up.
And then one of those people that are supposed to put multicolored balloon-like smears all over the lenses. When are they showing up?
Yes, right.
Those guys are real party makers. Mm-hmm. Love that. Hey, it's Footloose, everyone. Footloose, the old one, not the new one. Not this new abomination I haven't seen.
No, 1984.
Anybody see the new one? Just curious.
New.
I watched the first few minutes of it just to kind of get an idea. And it begins the same way that the original Footloose begins, with like the dancing feet, except they're all at this party. And you find out that it's all these dancing feet that trampled the preacher's son and killed him.
Yes. Nice. Yes. That is
spoiler. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert.
Stinkiest opening ever, by the way.
I love that opening. What are you saying? Oh, you can use their feet. Right. Mm. I got it. No, that dirty, you know what's great feet. About that opening? Here, wait. This. It's a montage of feet.
Footmontage.
Yeah, and there's like different kinds of feet, like all kinds of brands of shoes and
Reeboks,
disarray.
It's great.
Yeah. I hear and Quentin Tarantino loves the opening of Footloose.
About three quarters of those shoes are fashionable again right now.
Yeah,
right. Really, really weird to see. the ones that are and are not.
Yeah. Oh, and there's got to be a website for shoes in footloose openings.
Oh, got to be, dude. This is what the internet used to be for. Remember when it was for this?
Right.
I loved it when it was for this. There was a period of internet usage where it was all list? About
is that
this.
What you're looking for?
Yeah, it was all, well. I mean, there's lists now, but they're all dumb. Like this, there used to be a time where an entire website written in, you know, front page 96 or something,
right,
would be dedicated to one really stupid bunch of facts, and I miss that. Now it's all blogs and comments and bullshit.
Shoe de jour, footloose title sequence. Here we go.
Okay, shoe de jour. Jeez, wow. You sure Tarantino
you
doesn't?
Tom McCann.
Speaking of which, Brian Ibbett is a he's prophetic, not pathetic.
He is pathetic.
No, prophetic.
Love that too.
You predicted something later in the show, so watch for it. See if you can guess when it happens.
Yes. Yes, I know what you're going for.
You probably know what it's going to be. So watch and listen, because Brian will be proved out to be the great Nostradamus of our time.
Nostradamus.
I'm just confused what this movie is about.
Okay, well, let's – you know what? All right, I'm going to play Fletcher, and then I want to hear that because – well, I'm going to hold my – I want to hear that before I say anything about what I think about Footloose, because I think what you say may change the world. All right, so stay tuned, everyone, for that. Before that, though, Scott Fletcher, take it away.
Footloose. This special edition of the movie that shot Kevin Bacon to the stratosphere of fame features the actor playing Ren McCormick, a decidedly urban teen who's transplanted to a small Midwestern town where dancing is outlawed, recruiting his best pal, the Quiet Willard, played by Chris Penn, and his girlfriend, played by Laura Singer, a clergyman's daughter. Ren starts a revolution by moving to the beat. Includes commentaries, footage from the musical, and more.
Except not on Netflix. So
yeah, he's reading the special edition description.
Yeah, and it's on there. It's on the Netflix description.
Featured in widescreen, and it's an hour and 46 minutes.
Now in stereo,
suitable for all ages. Actually, not. This movie was rated R. Do you guys remember that? I didn't think it was R at the time.
Well, there's almost a man wiener. The Blu-ray edition, if you freeze frame in the right place, you probably can see. Wiener.
Just a little bit of a little man wiener. We had another movie like that where you got just a bit of it. What was that?
Man.
We talked about it the whole hour.
Oh, are you talking about Starship Troopers? Because there was a lot of man wiener in that.
There was a lot of man wiener in that. It did have the ubiquitous male shower scene, which.
Right.
Pretty trumpian.
Well, it was the co-ed shower.
Yeah, it was the co-ed shower scene. This film reminded me of how we're slowly figuring out where the line of demarcation is on this sort of casual nudity.
Yeah.
Like I'm starting to think it's like 1986.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you go before that, casual nudity, whatever.
Yeah.
And as you go after that, no.
Yeah, that sounds
we don't
about
do
right.
That.
That sounds
like,
about right.
Nudity is either super sexy time or it's farce. It's like to be laughed at. Mm. One or the other.
Boobies.
Super sexy time is my favorite kind. No, but you're right. And we've talked about it on the show before, but it keeps coming up in other conversations I have outside of the show about why the change and what prompted it, or was there a singular thing that changed it? Was there a movie that did it? Was it just some idiot at the MPAA who really threw a stink one day? I don't know.
It was John Lithgow.
That's you think was. That was it?
Yeah.
So, Randy, back to you were going to say before we did the Fletcher bit, you were going to say what? Well, you say
I,
what
no,
you're going to say.
I'm asking the question what this movie's about because.
Are you? You're unsure.
It's about foot loose.
Loose feet. It's
loose
about
feet.
Loose feet.
It's about
a life changing right. mission to have a dance.
Yeah. Now, look, 1984, I'm young. I'm a kid. I'm the target audience, I think, at the time. I would have been 14.
Absolutely.
And I remember thinking this was the greatest thing that filmdom had ever handed us, except for John Hughes movies, and those were better. But this was like a big deal. This was us, man. They were speaking for us. How could you put him in a small town and say you can't dance? How could you possibly pass a law, which is ridiculous now if you think about it. Right. But at the time, it seemed like, yeah, parents and preachers and people, screw you, we're going to dance. And I really, really glommed onto that when I was that age. I loved
it. Hold on. All right, Scott.
Yeah.
Are you old enough to, and did you live in a place where caffeine was not to be had?
No, Caffeine was fine my entire life. That is a urban legend that
people in Utah don't drink
caffeine. It's ridiculous.
I went to school with some Mormons, and they really did believe that they were not supposed to drink caffeine. I don't know if that was more strict.
They were Southern Mormons, so
they were more strict.
There's a huge difference. Really?
So that's what I'm like. I think it's a legitimate question. Like I have a
it is a legitimate question.
A newspaper clipping that's called something like the last Utah sheriff to arrest people for drinking caffeine. Like I brought it up because this film jumps right into that sort of small town zeitgeist with the cops pulling him over for playing a cassette loudly.
Right.
And it just reminded me of this thing. Like apparently still in the 70s, there were still places where, you know, cops would pull over kids and harass them. But what's that Coke doing there? Mm. You know,
Maybe it's just Pepsi. This article that I've got completely lost on me.
I'd be an 8-year-old kid, and we'd walk to the local Grand. It was a grocery store called the Grand Central, and we'd walk down there. Me and my friend Barry was his name, and Barry would occasionally pull out his wiener for no reason, but that's a whole different story. that's a different conversation for a different day.
Hey, you seen this?
But we would go down there, and it was 25 cents at the time. This sounds so provincial.
Oh, my God.
25-cent in the bottle Coke.
Sorry, Grandpa.
You could get a Coke with it in the freaking glass bottle. And from a very young age till now, I've never heard of any. If anyone's ever been arrested for drinking caffeine within the state limits of Utah, that is new to me. I've never heard that in my life.
But it's not new. It's old. It's old news. It happened a long time ago, and it stopped.
Yeah, like right? What 1800s or something, or I don't know. When was this?
Like the
50s. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Hey, listen. Okay. I want to know. Okay, this is my other. This is my
go
other.
If you're going to ask me how many wives I have, I'm going to have to shut this podcast off.
No. I'm going to take it back into the. I'm going to take it back into the movie. I'm going to do something that you're doing on the. On the morning stream, which is I'm going to make a little geek confession here, as well as never seeing Top Gun. I had never seen Footloose.
Oh, wow.
Until this viewing,
this was my last night with my girlfriend was the first time I've ever watched Footloose.
You know why?
That's because he's so shifty.
It's because you're so shifty.
I'm so shifty.
We'll see. And that's it's funny because for a long time this was a guilty pleasure of mine. It wasn't until after a few years after I married Tina that she found out I'd never seen Footloose, and it's one of her favorite films. She even watched it again with me and watched the first few minutes of the remake. And so this is only my second viewing, and both viewings within the last probably 10 years. So
right.
Wow.
Never saw it as the intended age that it was made for.
Randy, how about you? When did you see it?
This was my first viewing.
Oh my gosh!
Yes!
What? Am I the only? I can't be the only one. That's crazy.
No.
I can't believe that. I mean, it wasn't even my kind of movie. I felt like it was aimed more at girls I was hanging out with, but it spoke to me in a weird way. And listen, at this time, Lehigh, which is where this is filmed, which is about 5-8 minutes from me now, was a big, empty expanse of farmland and dirt roads. Like what you saw in that movie is just about it. There's some small neighborhoods and some historic stuff over there, but for the most part, big, empty thing. That is not true anymore. Like in the ensuing years, huge explosion of restaurant after restaurant, shopping centers, Costco's, Walmart's, houses,
shoe stores, dance paraphernalia.
That place. So the high school is literally right behind it, like they show. Right. And that's the high school they were messing around in, or at least parts of some of the scenes where that's Lehigh High, and that thing's well over 100 years old. So that stuff was all there. But all those fields and stuff, gone. Right. Just gone.
Trivia alert. Kevin Bacon went into the local high school for a day.
Payson High. Yeah, he didn't go to Lehigh. Right. He went to Payson, which is about another hour. It's weird because it's another hour south. I don't know why they didn't just stay there, but they put him in like as a student, right? To see how he'd fit in or whatever.
Was he like 23, 21 Jump Street in there or something?
Yeah, dude, he was 24 years old rolling around in that high school. And Payson's weird anyway, but back then it was, I mean, we used to call everybody out here. I mean, to us, this was the far off, the frontier. We had no idea. We were in Salt Lake County, way up near the city. We had no idea that this place even existed half the time. And when we did, we figured it was everybody wore cowboy boots and, you know, kicked sheep around and stuff. We didn't know what was going on.
Well, that's how the Fast Times at Ridgemont High thing was too. That
what's his face?
Ted?
And I can't. Bill? Chris? No. No, no, the guy that.
Sean Penn.
No, the guy that wrote. That wrote Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh,
the story. The guy who was the subject of Almost Famous.
Right.
Whose name I can't remember. The director.
He also directed the Tom Crocodile Cruise. Dundee? Who?
Crocodile Dundee.
No. Yeah, Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan.
No.
Paul.
Fast Times.
Yeah. No.
Hold on. We're gonna find. It's gonna bug me. Cameron Crowe.
Yes, he posed as a high school student for a little while to get all the stories for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not, Kevin Bacon ain't the first to do this.
No.
And what was that other, Hiding Out or whatever it was with later on in the.
Oh, yeah. That's,
John Cryer.
I don't know who that was.
The guy, right. He hides out. Right. Like he's
got the skunk. The mob. He's got the skunk hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that at all.
I think that was Hiding Out.
We need to watch that one. That was terrific.
Right. Well,
John Cryer basically is going back to school to hide.
Well, to answer Randy's question, I think that the plot is this. Here's my summation of Footloose, okay?
Okay.
It's city kid. Divorced mom, dad ran away, moved to town, pack up everybody into a yellow bug and play bang your head the whole way. Get there, doesn't fit in, everybody's a bunch of yokels. They're real provincial. Everybody follows us. Look, it's extreme. There is an extreme park your brain at the door factor going on here, which is in 1984, I don't care how small your town was. Nobody had a law that said you couldn't dance. I guarantee.
Well, this was kind of like, this was very akin to the Dirty Dancing kind of thing. I mean, it was out of place. Out of town, you know, because
funny bit. When we were in high school, they were in the same football division as us, Lehigh High and Payson and these other guys. And they're all part of our division. So we'd come out here occasionally for games and stuff. They were bigger in this area, this smaller Utah County area. It's funny because the movie's not even about a Utah town. It's about some fake town somewhere else. So so this isn't even probably appropriate. But the point is, the place they set it in and pretended all this was going on were way, way more into their dances than we were. They spent more money on them. They were bigger, more lavish affairs. They had way more participation than we did. So it always struck me as weird.
I think you would be surprised in 1984 how many big city kids came to small towns and felt like this is a typical fish out of water story. Kid come into a small town. This is not the first time this story's been told.
Well,
by
this
place only has one video rental store. Oh,
right.
I mean, it's a trope for sure. I just don't think it's a trope rooted in reality. That's all. I don't think these things happen like that.
It's kind of like that Randy thing, who, by the way, is rebooting now because he's having trouble with lag.
Oh.
But it's kind of like that Randy thing. You when you live in that area, it seems absolutely ridiculous. But being from the outside, I can totally. I've been to small towns when I was younger, and I remember this being. You know, it was crazy. I mean, you couldn't listen to Kiss because you couldn't listen to AC/DC because it was. And this was during the 80s.
Well, no, nobody said you couldn't listen. They just parents said, "Oh, that rock and roll, and you kids and your heavy metal." But nobody said I couldn't.
But there was major restrictions on what you could wear at these kind of dances, major restrictions on what you could do. I don't find it that hard to believe that during the 80s there would have been a town that could have been rocked by, you know, some kids getting killed and then just go, okay, look, we're just going to back out of you know, all this Satan stuff and we're going to burn some books. Because I remember that. I remember the, you know, book burnings and that kind of crap.
Really?
Still going on during that time.
Never had any book burnings where I lived ever. That seems crazy to me. I was sheltered, but I just didn't see it.
I remember when they were burning albums. Where was it? It was like 70s. In the 70s, they were burning albums as recently.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, it's one of those things where you grew up in that area, so you know it wasn't happening in that area. But this was happening somewhere in the U.S. Yeah. They may have picked a conservative place to place us that.
Well, look, I would love that if somebody out there listening, did anybody out there grow up in a severely restrictive sort of culturally locked down thing like that?
You gotta remember, I live in the South. I've seen some severely restrictive.
Oh, I'm sure. But I mean, even today, if you go, like, Carter went to her first dance yesterday. She went to freaking homecoming, all right, and that freaked me out and whatever, all the dad stuff aside. And he's a really nice kid. Anyway, forget about all of that. The important bit was it's a 20s theme, but they had this litany of list of things you couldn't wear or could wear, or, you know, you couldn't show up half naked. Are they going to kick you? There's always dress codes. Mm-hmm. So that stuff I don't really count.
Was that half naked on 20 standards or the 2000
half naked at all, like literally the quantifying of clothing at 50%.
Right.
They weren't going to allow it. Still ringing Randy. I don't know. He's still blinking. I don't know what's going on there.
He's having a little bit of lag problems, but
anyway, we'll keep trying, Adam.
That's interesting. I think it's funny that maybe they should have based this on a southern town, because this felt more like at home to me in the South during I certainly stayed away from these kind of places, but there were little towns that were, I wouldn't say the whole town would be infected like that as far as people being so back-minded, but there were definitely parts of the community that could be like that.
Well, was there like a Charles or an Arthur or whatever the hell that guy's name was that seemed to be dressed in a suit all the time but didn't actually have a job, that would just suddenly show up burning books or
absolutely
bugging the other guy?
He was like school superintendent or something, wasn't he?
Was he? I didn't notice.
I think so, yeah.
Even in the small town I lived in, it was close. I mean, it never happened, but we were certainly aware of places that would do that, would go that far.
My favorite bit with that guy as a character was when he came. So Lithgow shows up at the book burning at what looked to me like one of the common areas at BYU. I think they went like 30 minutes south to Provo for that. Anyway, they're burning something in a basket, like a bucket or whatever. There are a bunch of books and people are filing bucket. Up and everyone's so excited and kids are helping. And he puts a stop to it and says, no, you've gone way overboard. We're not here to judge anyone. The bad parts aren't the books. It's in our heart and all this stuff. And it's all setting him up for softening him up for the dance, right?
Right.
That's all going on. And he's there going, well, Reverend, it would seem like a good idea. He says, no, go home. Take your snaggly wife and go home. And he goes, okay, and turns around and does like Arrested Development. No, 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 no. They slowly put their heads down and walk away from the burning bucket. I laughed so hard, dude.
It was good.
Only in the shadow of Arrested Development was that as funny as it would have been, but no, that was good stuff.
It was good stuff, and I don't know. This movie was really weird. And you know, everybody, I had this impression of John Lithgow as being this super heavy in the movie, because I remember seeing the trailers,
you mean,
back
physically
in the day.
He
was super fat. Heavy. No, he was like the downer. He was all like, screaming and yelling from the trailers. I remember I didn't want to go see this movie because honestly, it was a little bit too much of, I'm like, I don't want to see some kid trying to overcome all this, you know, all these community leaders who are so poo poo, because it's a little bit too close to home for me.
Really?
So that was probably the reason why I didn't go see it. Plus I was pretty young.
But it's the tropey thing to do. It's you're young and you know better, and this old generation are stupid and don't understand.
Right.
Everybody does it over and over. And at the time, it resonated with me. I don't think it holds up as well, but you know, there were moments where I had nostalgia kick in, and I thought of Brian a lot because Ibbitt a lot because just all this music was just so like.
Oh yeah, well, same thing happened. You know, my school, we had to turn things around. Dancing was banned, and
yeah, of course. Just like when you moved as a lad to Arvada from the big city of Denver.
Right. And the basic plot of this movie is basically a music video. It's I Wanna Rock by Twisted Sister.
Right.
You know, it could be, the whole thing could have been just wrapped up in 3.5 minutes with a little bit of dialogue at the beginning.
Yeah.
A preacher getting a bucket falling on his head, everybody dancing at the end, and then fade out and show the next Pat Benatar video.
Indeed. Randy, you're back, right? You back? He says he shows back. I don't hear him, though.
He's in full color.
Oh, there he is.
Good, good,
there.
Good.
Okay, good. You're back. Are you there? Yeah. Back with a passion, baby.
Oh, man.
Looks like,
man,
he's got
Chris,
some internet
Chris
stuff.
Penn.
Yes, Chris Penn. Christopher
Chris
Penn.
Penn, man. I didn't recognize him at first, you know, because this is my first viewing, and I was not aware that Chris Penn was in there. You know, he's played a lot of kind of gangster kind of people. The Chris Penn I knew was more chubby. You know what I mean?
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, exactly.
What was his name? What was his name in that?
He wasn't a mister.
Wasn't he a color? Okay.
I don't think he was a color.
Oh, he wasn't on the heist even.
Right. He wasn't in the heist. He was the guy's, what's his face? Lawrence Tierney's son,
right? Yeah, I think he was his son.
Sadly, I remember him from his better roles, such as Clive on Rush Hour and Peter Romano and Corky Romano.
Yeah.
Those were the things I really remember.
He's an interesting comparative act to his brother. Like, I think they couldn't be more different.
No kidding. Opposite ends of the pen spectrum.
Yeah, but I like Brian says, I think he played well in the roles where he kind of had to be a tough guy or whatever that whatever you want to call that. And this here's the thing I noticed. So he died at 40, way too young. Massive heart failure. Long history with drugs and some other stuff, and got real fat at one point, like super hugely obese. And none of those things probably contributed to his health, but here he's fit as a freaking fiddle,
Wow.
Now is he intentionally playing somebody that's kind of developmentally disabled?
No, I don't think so.
Because he doesn't seem to he looks like he's looking at Kevin Bacon and understanding some of the words, like when Kevin Bacon is explaining things to him. And stuff just isn't sinking in.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was...
I think he's intentionally a little bit thick, but I think it's supposed to be more stereotype, like country
Sean
boy
Sean Penn
thick.
Is kind of like that, too. I mean, I think their whole family kind of...
Just the Spicoli. Underlying,
right. Underlying, I think they're intelligent people, but that look they can give you, man, it's just like, man, wouldn't that have been an interesting dinner to have with somebody, the Penn family? Oh, my God, are all you people stupid?
Yeah. But... Dude, no doubt. In 2013, on Howard Stern, Kevin Bacon, who is on everything, so why not Howard Stern, admitted that he actually tips DJs at weddings not to play Footloose.
Yeah.
He stated that people expect him to dance the song as he did it in the movie, and I think they're just referring to that last part where he's doing the stupid cowboy shuffle thing at the end.
Right.
In truth, while he did do some of the dancing, there's also a double for him as well, so he didn't do all the dancing people think he did. And he says, no, I don't want to do that. I hate that movie. I don't want to do it.
It was super obvious in some scenes for me, especially out in the rusty barn left, whatever that crap was that he was out in that warehouse or wherever it was at.
Yeah, that's right over there near the roller mills, yeah. It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. That stuff is as old as it looks, but yeah.
So I don't know how much I believe that he tips. I mean, you know, maybe he says that now in interviews. Obviously, he said that on Stern. But do you remember his band, the Bacon Brothers? It was him and his brother, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a cover that they did of Footloose.
Oh, you're kidding!
So He can't hate it too much.
He did a cover. I would love to hear that song at some point. Maybe not
I will throw
but.
It into.
Right, throw in the Dropbox, man. We'll pull it down during the show.
Yeah, why not?
I love that. Let's see what else. Tom Cruise and Rob Lowe were both slated to play the lead. Both either turned it down for personal reasons or had other jobs to do. So you almost had Tom Cruise in this role. I could kind of see those two.
I could totally see Tom Cruise. But, oh, my God. I mean, Laurie Singer is already super tall. And Tom Cruise is average height at best.
No kidding. And by the way, give that girl a sandwich. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. She was wearing those jeans all kinds of high, wasn't she?
Yeah.
You could see the bones in her hips.
A little too bony for me, but whatever. She was good.
But we can also, at this point, probably talk about Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sure.
She didn't look too bad in this film.
Well, she was all right. And she was playing the role that like you give to Sarah Silverman or... I can't think of any other actors.
The spunky friend.
The spunky friend, exactly.
The plucky best friend.
The shorter, less attractive friend.
She kind of disappeared about halfway through the movie, too, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Well, she went off with a cowboy when Stimpy wouldn't dance with her.
Right.
Stimpy.
Well, when that's pretty appropriate. Right. When the fight happened out in front of the roller mills there, which I like to reenact every time I pull in there to get some flour. By the way, they really do have the best flour in the world. Anyway, you go over there.
Really, I mean, like you could say, "Oh, this is some really good flour."
No, it really is. They're like regionally famous for their like they do these crazy pastry things and just all kinds of stuff.
Are they all bacon flavored?
No, they're none of them are none of them are bacon flavored. They're all.
I see what you did there.
That was pretty good. Done. They're all Christopher Penn flavored. Come on now.
Oh.
But yeah, people give them for gifts a lot and stuff like that. They're kind of an old. Thing that you just a tradition around here, but the
you
point
give
is
flour is a gift.
Yeah, because they're really like it, this, right, you can't tell from the movie. You can't tell from the movie, but like they have pancake mixes, for example, that are like super artisanal. You get stuff that's crazy flavors and combinations, and you know all wheat grown right there, and you know things weird stuff like that, and it costs way too much money, and people love it. So
speaking of Chris Penn,
whoa,
what?
Yes, so Chris Penn, go.
So this is the first time I've ever seen this movie, and I'm like, all my memories of Chris Penn are like Reservoir Dogs and Newer, and he died at age 40, and I'm like, what happened? I'm watching this kid who's like great.
Fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, he's in good shape. He's playing. I get the idea that actually Chris Penn himself was a moron because he, like, now that I look back, he always played a moron, right?
Right.
Right, right.
But, like,
even a criminal moron sometimes, but usually still sort of a moron. I think what changed was drugs and ribs. I think those two things, because really, I mean, he got deep, deep, deep into drug addiction and got real bad with the food and the whatnot, and he got real fat real quick. I mean, you gotta think. So Reservoir Dogs, 92.
Right.
This was 84. So you are literally talking about less than 10 years.
So are we thinking? Are we thinking meth and McRibs at McDonald's?
No, meth will make you skinny. I think it was.
Oh, okay,
he was
right.
All into pills and stuff. And
pills.
Yeah,
maybe some pot.
He's just taking 3 hours.
Yeah, with all of meth side effects, it's a great dietitian's choice.
I love the idea that Scott doesn't really know what that. They're just pills. They're just like to him. It came in a pill shape.
Well, you know, like the oxys and the benzos and the uppers and the downers and the
Oh my gosh!
I've seen movies. I know what's going on. Anyway,
more about that than I would have guessed.
I know, right?
Well, I know
you
enough.
Were able to name more than I would have expected.
Why is there some expectation that I know nothing about pharmaceuticals? That's a weird thing to assume about me.
You just referred to a number of recreational drugs as pills.
Well, pills. hippie or not hippie, hobo heroin or whatever they call. Isn't that what they call oxy now? It's like hillbilly heroin. There you go.
Because
it's cheaper than real heroin, which is the same effect or whatever, but more addictive. No, listen, I don't do drugs, but when I do,
when you turn on your television, people do drugs on the TV all the time.
Exactly.
And they're most of the time they're in pill form.
All right. So the tractor scene, I wanted to tell you guys about this. Right. So they're having their little chicken there with Chuck and Bacon, right?
Right.
And they're doing their little, who's going to turn first or who's going to stop first. And he gets his apparently elastic shoelace caught on the freaking.
When Bacon does the I'm gonna take a crap. No, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to take a crap. Exactly.
Is that how you get your foot off of the gas pedal?
Okay.
Is,
all right. So hold on. If your foot is tied to the brake, you just press the brake and the problem's solved.
Right.
If your foot is tied to the gas, you're trying to pull back. Right. You pull back. Problem solved.
Either way, problem solved.
I don't understand what the problem is.
It was the best chicken dance I've ever seen. It was awesome.
Why didn't they have the gear shifter break off
or
something? Like, so he's holding a stick going, I don't know what to do now. Stop this crazy thing. Instead, it's like I really truly believe Bacon wants to wreck.
Yeah.
The tractors.
I would, because I'm like, whatever, not my tractors. Whatever, dude. Let's do it.
It was very Keystone Cop kind of.
Yeah,
comedy. But
standing up, you're sitting down. Yeah. You're standing up, you're sitting down.
Well, here's the best bit about that whole area there. So that exact road and that exact piece of land they're on is literally, and I don't use that term like everyone else does. I mean, for real, literally, my neighborhood now.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole area got sold by whoever owned the farm, and they put in a billion houses, and now it's a huge half of what's referred to as Eagle Mountain City, and my house is probably I had thrown a rock and hit Chuck in the head with it if we could have jumped ahead those many years. So it's to me, this movie was a weird trip back in time to see all this stuff I know now, and it's just freaking weird. As I drank my Coke just fine, everybody, with my single wife I have over here, it's not a problem. It's just her and I getting a Coke.
So how far starch?
I mean. Curious.
What'd you say with the what?
We're all sniffing starch back then?
Of course we were. All the time sniffing starch. Like the hair starch or whatever the girl was talking about.
I guess that's what they were talking about in the movie.
Yeah.
Don't be sniffing no starch.
I did have a friend who was super into huffing on rubber cement bottles.
No, who was it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the same kid. I told you guys about this kid, I think, where
he showed us her penis?
He dipped his hand in rubber cement. We have big jars of it in this art class. Put his hand, came out with it. And goes, his name is Corey Nagel, not the famous artist, but the idiot kid I grew up with. And he had he had rubber cement up to his elbow. And he goes, dude, you guys totally check this out. It's like the movies. So he was going to do like a fire stunt. So he takes a lighter and goes, whoosh, and sets his hand on fire. And of course, that isn't working the way the stuff they use in Hollywood is.
Yeah.
So he immediately goes, and starts whipping his arm around. And little flaming balls of rubber cement are flying on every possible surface, everybody's clothes, everywhere. And the best part, the thing that really finished off the deal for me, was he ran up to the front of class, and there was a sink up there. It was a big art class. Two big sinks, and one was a big jar of water that people clean brushes out with, and the other one a big same-size jar thing full of turpentine.
Oh, jeez. Right?
And I, and he went up there and did the whole which one are you going to choose moment, like a pause. And he plunged it into the water, and everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Same kid with the same hand, that same year in the winter, knocked on the, he was sloughing class. He knocked on the outside window of that class. It was so cold that his knocking shattered the glass, and a huge giant chunk of glass came down and went into his forearm and severed those major, the things that would kill you if you cut them.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So police, and everybody came to solve this kid's life problems. He was the biggest idiot I ever met.
I love the way the police sound like the guys dancing on a float in a gay pride parade just now.
That was
amazing. You just said the police come and you made this sound.
All right. Well, that Utah stereotype is correct. So there you have it.
All right.
Let's see. Right. Who else?
How far away are you right now from that Petit Neat Museum in Payson?
Payson is about an hour from here. So I'd have to hop in the car and go. Yeah. It's farther from all this stuff. Which is a little weird that they did. It's also weird that where he's finally kind of getting it on with her and they're talking by his car in what looks like a big abandoned like junkyard with the weird train that was written all over.
Oh yeah, that was actually a really good shot.
That's like 2 hours north, like north of Salt Lake toward Ogden. I don't know why they went up there, but maybe it looked cool and that's what they
just
did.
Just the right need the right shot.
Yeah, and they did a lot of that in here, but for the most part, they did stay kind of around in and around the kind of Eagle Mountain, Lehigh area, Saratoga Springs, that whole area in front of the lake, and that was kind of where this movie was. And when I was a kid, I never came out here because I thought I'd get killed by cowboys. I really did.
Except when they had to cross the state line to have fun, I decided for myself that that was Evanston.
So I decided it would have – okay, because from any direction, you would have to drive. They said, hey, we just have to go over the line, as if the line's right there by the freaking tracks. It's really – it's five, six, up to 10 hours away in any direction. You want to go to Idaho, it's about 10. You want to go to – Nevada,
why would you want to go to – you would go to Idaho to let your hair down. Like,
that's, yeah, you'd never do that. Evanston, you could, but that's about 8 hours, and you got to go in way north. Like, there's no quick, easy way. So unless they were truly packing up for an entire eight-hour trip, which means more than just a day trip up there, then I don't know where they went. They didn't go anywhere.
Well, when Ariel got home, you know, she'd been gone a long time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, where have you been for the last week? You know, I was dancing.
Yeah, I was dancing. I was dancing in Evanston where I can also buy fireworks that I can't buy. That's what we did in Evanston when we were kids. We
went I'm glad you're coming with me on the Evanston. It's my only good solution.
I like it. There's casinos there and stuff, and it's, you know, all the old people go there, and that's still a thing here. So, sure. Why not? I'm down with that. I mean, again, it's funny because it's hard for me to – when I watch the movie, I just go, oh, this is Lehigh, Utah. That's what this is. But really, in the movie, it's not supposed to be any of that. It's supposed to be somewhere else. It's supposed to be some fake county. All the policemen have this fake county name on their arms. So I got to quit making the comparison, but visually, it's hard for me not to.
No, I wish they'd gone with it. Like, even in Scott Fletcher's summation with the somewhere, some small Midwest town. No, make it Utah.
Yeah, why not?
It's a lot more entertaining that way.
I would own it, and it'd be no problem. Tom Cruise. We talked about Tom Cruise. Diane Wiest, she's the one that played Ariel's mother.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Vi was her name. She was only 9 years older than the actress Laurie Singer. So I just think that's interesting. Young. It's kind of interesting, you know?
But she looks a lot older, but the way she wore her hair.
She was good in
Lost Boys.
No, that other movie where she played a mom?
No.
Oh, every movie where she plays a mom?
Every movie ever made that needs a mom? Right. No, she was in... And she
Am Sam with Sean Penn.
She always turns in the movie, too, doesn't it seem like? Like, she always has a change of heart in every movie she's in.
Scissorhands?
Was she the mom in that?
She was the mom in that.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
And the Lost Boys.
The one I'm thinking of is she was really good as the district attorney on Law & Order.
For about
3 or 4 seasons. She was fantastic in that. Anyway, I like her. Only 9 years older than Laurie Singer, who, by the way, has turned into Gary Busey. I sent you a photo earlier.
Makeup photo. Yeah, right, she's playing a zombie or something, isn't she?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's her real face. It's a real face.
No.
I'm pretty sure that was makeup for, what was it, like Leprechaun, yeah. Warlock, or some kind of,
you're probably right,
one of those low budget horror films.
You're right.
Warlock. We need to watch that for,
oh, we totally
so
should.
She's in an orchestra now, isn't she? Tina was saying that Laurie Singer is now, like, she's left.
No, that's just because her last name is Singer. she's a cellist.
Is she a cellist?
Okay, there we go.
Interesting. Well, let's see. Last thing she was in. Hold on, Laurie Singer. Because she stayed pretty active. Let's see. 2011, she was on Law & Order Special Victims Unit. She was in something called Little Victim in 2005, and then it was all 90s
after
that.
It was a short film, yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of acting. You're right. There's not a lot going on. You're right. She was in Warlock. Her as well. The old lady and the young one.
Hmm.
Who else? Equinox. Yeah, the rest of this is crap.
You can't really identify any of it. Oh, Man with One Red Shoe. Falcon and the Snowman.
Yeah.
So
in this movie, she was Gina Davis minus, some real estate. Like, she was she was 90% Gina Davis.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. All right, good enough.
That's all I got.
90% Gina. That's an interesting way to look at her.
I mean, just in looks, right? Like, basically.
No, in general, the sound of her voice, the way she acted and moved. Like, her character was insane. All right?
Character. It's not a post you want to hit your yellow Volkswagen to.
No.
Right.
She's just on a.
Well, look who was up for the role and ended up winning against. Melanie Griffith, Michelle Pfeiffer, Jamie Lee Curtis. And if you ask me, all these people so far would totally fit.
Was that Diane Weist?
No. We're talking about
Laurie Singer's role.
Rosanna Arquette, Meg Tilly, Julia Louise Dreyfus, or Louis, however you say it.
Louis.
Heather Locklear, Meg Ryan, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jodie Foster.
Needless to say that she was further down the list.
Hold on, he hasn't gotten to the
best. I'm not even there. Phoebe Cates, Tatum O'Neill.
Stop right there.
Bridget Fonda.
Tatum O'Neill would have been a miracle casting for this part. Because it's the part of a crazy person. Like, I don't know if the rest of you grew up in a community where people had preacher's kids running around. But what is this movie about? I really genuinely don't know, but one of the things it's about is preacher's kids.
Yeah.
And knowing a few PKs, I can honestly say, honestly say this film missed the mark so badly on the script in depicting her. It made her out to be out of her mind, death wishy crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah. The fight with Chuck was rough.
Standing in front of the train, just expecting the new kid you just met to save your life.
Yeah,
you know, all of it, everything.
Well, if you're expecting that, I mean, you know, she's obviously got some issues, and it probably stems from all this controlling from her father, and and you know, doesn't see any other way out of it.
Enough to make her stand in front of a train.
In this town, I must die.
there were three games of chicken in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to college after this unless I die by train.
or fall off a truck.
Sticking your legs out of a couple of cars.
It seemed okay when I was 14. Like, this is the thing. Those sorts of things didn't strike me as any. They seemed daring and, you know, this is how you know if somebody really is the right one for you because he pushes you out of the way.
Right.
That's what you think when you're 14. Mm-hmm. Now you go, you're a bunch of dumbasses is what you say now. You know, and there were other people, Diane Lane, Lori Loughlin, Brooke Shields, all offered the role, and they all turned it down, according to the trivia on the internet, which may or may not be true.
Tatum O'Neill would have been awesome.
All right. I'm with you. I'd have voted for her. I would have done that. In the DVD commentary, Kevin Bacon revealed that the co-ed extras in the locker room scene were paid $20 a piece to appear nude. That's some good cash, dude. Hey, want to have your wiener out? Yes. Yeah, you're in then.
I think you only see one guy from the front kind of walking around behind him. But, like I said earlier, I think if you get the Blu-ray and you can freeze frame it, you might be able to pick something out.
Just reminded me of something, a quick recommendation, and then also a reference to the Naked Man thing. So I read the book, The Road, Cormac McCarthy's The Road, 3 times and loved that book.
Right.
Just love it. And I finally saw the movie with Aragorn and that kid. I don't know the kid, but
right.
I can't think of his name.
Is that The Road?
Who played Aragorn? Who played that guy? or what's his name?
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen, thank you. Mm-hmm. Came out in 2009, and I just, for whatever reason, just never got around to it. Finally did. Watched it last night, in fact. And here's the thing. That movie's great. I really liked it. John Hillcoat directed it, who's kind of psycho, but whatever. I really like the tone. You guys know I like my post-apocalyptica, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
right, into right, that. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That juiced all my chickens right there. I liked it.
Juiced my chickens.
So
now you're talking about The Road, which is a really good movie. It's dark, depressing.
Very dark, very gritty, very depressing. But also, you know, you got to carry the light, Brian. You got to carry the light.
Right, you do.
So here's the naked part. So he shows up in this thing, Viggo does, twice. And the only time he ever shows up buck naked is when he's got to swim someplace. So one is to go out to a boat and scavenge for junk. And then the other one is to get into a river and clean yourself off. And right. In both cases, you get to see Viggo Mortensen's little puppy pack underneath the, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
He's got a little bit of a gap, is what you're
puppy
saying.
Pack.
So yeah, see. Like a little little bag, a little family scrote. Bag there.
Go ahead and say it. Back scrote. Right.
Back scrote. A little back scrote.
Back scrote.
Now, I'm purposely putting some distance between me and the next viewing of Lord of the Rings because of this, because I don't want to think about it anymore. Because
right.
I saw, there's, and not only that, he is filthy. Like, he looks like he hasn't seen a wet wipe in who knows how long.
but you saw the movie more than once?
No, movie once, book three times.
All right.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really well done.
Well, and you've just explained why you love the movie.
Well,
so
yeah.
Thank you for that.
Naked Aragorn every time. I just don't know what Steve Perry's daughter, not Steve Perry, Steve Perry saying for, I can't think of his name, Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler's daughter saw an Aragorn in the first place. But now I've gone too far because I explained it wrong with Steve Perry's name. Moving
it's
on.
It's good.
Let's see. I like the opening shoe montage. We mentioned that. Kid falling asleep in church moment was still awesome and totally held up. I think that was real.
It looked real. It totally looked real.
Yeah, when you're like that kid was like what eight maybe,
There,
which is much more realistic than the 20 somethings that were going to high school.
Yeah,
anyway. there were a couple of character breaking moments that they clearly left in the film. There was a line by Sarah Jessica Parker that was way off the script, and you could just see it all over her face.
What was it?
And I don't know. She's just they're chatting in a diner. Mm-hmm. All her only existence in the film is to chat in a diner with.
It's your job.
But
We were in your internet was being weird. We were talking about how she played that role that every, you know, I mentioned Sarah Silverman. I can't think of other people's names, but it's that plucky friend role. Mm-hmm. And I think she did all right. Like I don't normally like Sarah Jessica Parker much. She usually makes me angry. And it's not the Horace thing or any of that.
Oh, I hate that.
It's that she usually plays distasteful people, like people who are just kind of snotty and mean. And treating her man in a rom-com badly or something. And in this, she's just like, yeah, you can rely on her. She's funny and cool, and she'll show up, and she'll help you get your locker open when you forgot your code. And, you know, she's nice.
This film is full of what seems to me like accidental casting. Like, when you named the 24 people that were considered for the role Laurie Singer got, you're like, oh, well, so they ended up throwing a dart, basically. And I felt that way about Kevin Bacon. Like, you know, if I didn't have to watch this kid squint at the person he's talking to for an hour and a half, this might actually be a better movie. Like
with Tom Cruise? Better or worse with Tom Cruise?
Also a squinter. So
how about Rob Lowe? Better or worse with Rob Lowe?
Way better with Rob Lowe. Wow, I want to see that.
Okay.
Oh, I want to see that.
Because he also
Rob
turned
Lowe
it down.
Be way too conservative.
You think so?
Way too, yeah, I don't think he could pull it off.
I think he could. Those days, like these were St. Elmo's days, dude. He'd been all right.
Right. So, I think he would have been all right, but not bacon worthy.
The person I'd like to see in 1984 in this movie, because unfortunately, one of the reasons that I felt like Kevin Bacon was squinting all the time was that's the way his face is shaped, but also he was like 27 and he no longer had the baby face of a teenager. Now, the problem with my suggestion is that they are depicting this guy as gorgeous. Like the girls are like, oh, look at Ren. He's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So bear with me. But damn it, Michael J. Fox would have been fun in this movie.
Oh, he'd have been great in this.
So fun.
He'd have been too short, perhaps.
Would you have been able to believe that he could dance like that? Like, you know, see, could you imagine Michael J. Fox running through the
That was my problem. No, that was my problem. No one in real life angst dances like a professional ballerina.
Yeah, he sucked. That part sucks. That part really sucks.
Well, yeah.
At the time, again, when I was 14, it seemed very appropriate. It seemed like, oh, yeah, look at him go. This is how you get your stuff out. But no, that was
bad. And then you look, that's not suck. He is pirouetting on his toes. Like,
wait, Brian, do you think that was the best part of the movie?
That was by far, I mean, it's the most iconic part of the film, and it is by far, it still shines. I really think
so. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, Brian's new title is Devil's Advocate General. That's his new title here on the show.
I really believe this, though. This is a true story. I mean, it actually held up. I mean, it was parts of the movie where I was kind of like, you know, we take notes during these movies, so sometimes I'll get a little bit distracted in my Google Notes, and I'll be. Right. But in that scene, I was really, I was hooked. I was, okay. I was watching.
It's like a Bonnie Tyler video, is what it was.
Yeah, and I have so many questions. Like, first of all, had he scouted this steel mill before to know where all the different things are and to make sure that he could swing on that thing without falling to his death?
Jump from that tunnel,
like,
and
like I just want to even amateur parkour artists go look at where they're going before they.
It was a musical, man. I mean, you don't be like watching.
Is not a musical.
Is a music? No, it's marked as a musical.
It's a dancing movie. The musicals are different. Movie. Nobody's singing. I don't know if that new one's like that or not, but
okay, well, it's a dance movie. Yeah. But you don't question. Of course, it's ridiculous that he's dancing.
But I have so many questions. Like, for example, so he goes out to the steel mill in the middle of the night because he's so frustrated. And it just happens that she's there and she sees him, and then they end up, you know, like advancing their relationship. What if he'd gone to the cotton gin and she'd gone to the steel miller? What if he'd gone to the barn where they store all the wheat and she'd gone to the cotton gin, and neither one of them had gone to the steel mill? Like,
he went there, saw him do his bit, and said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And then made him spend gas and time to drive 2 hours to Ogden to sit in that other place. Mm-hmm.
I see the problem, Randy. You were thinking. This movie is not about thinking. This movie is about feet.
Feeling.
It's about feet.
It's all about feet.
It's all about feet and feeling. That's right. I got a trope. Chuck is a trope.
Oh, gosh.
Chuck is totally a trope. Actually, he's not even a trope. Actually, he's a weird mix of funkiness, because he's like, he's riding around with Pink Floyd and Grateful Dead stickers, but he's got a jam box and he's like listening to Motown or something. I mean, he makes no sense to me.
He's still a trope. He's the kid from Karate Kid who beats up Daniel's son. That's
he's the only dude.
Well, he might as well be played
with
Ted McGinley.
Right.
He's such a trope.
Oh, I wish he was.
He's the only dude with chest hair in this movie, by the way, which was, it was trying to escape from his shirt.
That little patch he had coming out the top.
Yeah. Right.
My favorite other character here, like the tropey character of the big guy, the brute who's on your side, is Woody.
Yeah.
I was so blown away when he comes out of the diner and they're going to beat up Ren in a phone booth.
Yeah.
And he comes out, he's just like holding off three guys. I'm a one man army here.
He's like one guy to push another guy against the wall.
And since you bring up that trope, my favorite form of that trope is the guy, bald and angry, and he's a great actor in other things now, but bald, angry kid in detention in the John Hughes movie. Oh crap, what's the name of it? Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, Some Kind of Wonderful. Oh, yeah.
And he's carving his name in the desk. And he shows up at that party and just puts everybody in a headlock or whatever. Love that guy.
Okay, one man army. One man army.
Andre
the Giant and Princess Bride.
Perfect. Good. We just saw one. Jaws did it at the end of Moonraker.
Jaws is a one man army.
Yeah.
I love those. This is not a trope I have a problem with.
I just saw Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs for the first time, and when Brent becomes Chicken Brent.
Yeah.
Yes.
That movie is great.
He's a one-man army.
Two coming very soon.
What a great movie. Two's out now, it's in next weekend. Early preview now. You're right.
Next weekend,
Looking forward to that.
My favorite, there's a female version of the one-man army, and that's Vasquez from Aliens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she could do it.
Anyone ever mistake you for a guy?
Yeah,
you could say Arnold in Terminator 2 is the one man army,
right? More than once, Boromir or Gimli in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah,
right,
sure.
But they're called upon to hold off just scores of orcs.
Yeah, but I like the big broody guy that could use his power for bad, but instead,
So he's holding three guys up against a phone booth while talking about, now you need to understand how it works here in Beaumont. Like he's looking over his shoulder, just chatting.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I had a friend who was kind of that in high school. And that's how we thought of him. And I think we thought of him in those simple tropey ways. Like he wasn't really a guy that would always come to the aid of the nerd when he was needed. But occasionally he would stick up for somebody who was smaller than him, and we would all go, yeah, he's that guy. And so he became kind of a movie version of himself. Right. And I love
Do you remember Bully?
Yeah.
Do you remember watching that movie? Who was that? That was the because he ended up going on being the bad guy in Kindergarten Cop, right?
Wait, are you talking about the Renfro one? The Brad Renfro Bully? That's a terrible I hated that movie.
That's late 70s?
Nope. I'm thinking of you're thinking of The Bully.
The Bully.
And that's the little redheaded kid that flipped the camera off. And at the time, I thought that was so cool that you could flip the camera off in a movie. Yeah, and it's the guy who plays Jane in Firefly was the bully.
Right.
Adam Baldwin. That's who you're thinking of. Is it The Bully or just Bully? Or the,
I thought it was just the Bully.
My Bodyguard is what I'm thinking
My
of.
Bodyguard.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm. My Bodyguard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and the bad guy was Pink Flamingo.
My Bodyguard.
Who's Pink Flamingo guy?
Matt Dillon.
Adam.
Yeah. I almost said Tex. That would have been worse.
Wasn't Adam Baldwin? Was he the bully, the protector?
No. Yes, he was the big guy that nobody. He was quiet and nobody would mess with him. But then he stood up and protected the kid. That's right. Against Pink Flamingo.
Right.
Right. Or Wild Orchid or whatever he was. good deal. What else? They got another one here. Oh, I already touched.
I got a trope.
Oh, you got a trope? Hold on.
Yeah.
There we go.
You can play music anywhere and everybody around you will begin to dance.
Love it.
And they can hear it everywhere. I mean,
the guy by the grill is the guy I was thinking of when you just said that. Yeah. There's no way he can hear the music coming from the parking lot.
Yeah.
Not even. I mean, people are pulling up in car. I mean, Kevin Bacon pulled up in his little Volkswagen Bug and he's jamming out to something. Nobody could hear that.
No. Right. Not here's that song car. For people who don't know. Check it out.
Yes. Shalimar, baby.
Oh, I love this stuff, dude. This is so 80s, it hurts. Yeah. I feel like I'm being thrown back in time when I heard it.
When I was watching this, I was wondering if you could make a cut of the movie just using the music videos that were released for each of the singles that came from the soundtrack. Like if you could take Holding Out for a Hero and I'm Free and Footloose and edit them together, keep the music intact so you got a little bit of...
That's awesome.
And where there aren't lyrics, you could put in John Lithgow talking.
Yeah, just have him say stuff.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, our second Lithgow film, right?
But going back to that whole...
Only your second? Wow.
Yeah, because Harry and the Hendersons is what I'm thinking.
I say Harry and Henderson.
Going back to that whole everybody can hear the music and dance trope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was sad that I'd never seen this before because it reminded me of all these films that kind of came after it, you know? Like, as a result, I'm going, oh, that's kind of like Dirty Dancing. That's kind of like Saturday Night Fever. Well, Saturday Night Fever was earlier, but like these movies just kept popping into my head, you know?
Yeah, the dance-off movies. The kids today would say, you've been served or step up. Yeah, the step up series.
We've seen one on here, Breakin'.
Uh-huh. Breakin'. Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, it's another trope of 80s movies, though. If you get any dancing at all, there'll be a break dancer at some point.
Right.
Oh, yes, pop and lock dude at the end.
A small percentage of your dancers will be
breaking. And a reminder, everyone listening, no one has ever done the robot and looked good doing it. Ever. Ever.
He did pretty good.
I think he was great.
That's
awesome.
He was good.
I'm telling you, Wesley Snipes can't make the robot look cool.
All right, fair enough. But I feel like we're... I know that it comes in and out of favor occasionally, but I feel like we're ready for a major resurgence of pop and lock, like breakdancing. Yeah. You watch.
Do you know how I knew this movie wasn't for me?
Mm.
There was not even a 30-second introduction of the idea that they were taking all the arcade games out of town.
Yeah,
there was only like a 2-second idea, and nobody flipped out.
Yeah,
instead they were all flipping out because they couldn't dance.
Screw that crap!
Yeah. We would have been rioting in the streets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if there had been arcades being pulled out.
By the way,
in the streets.
There's no coincidence here that I'm thinking of this at the same time because I just watched another. Netflix is it's a never ending fountain of weird things you can find. Ending, not ending. And ending. I found a documentary.
You've been ended.
Called Fall from Grace or something like that. But it's a documentary where they get all up in the face of the Westboro Baptist Church people.
Right.
And that whole Fred Phelps thing and all that. And their horrible signs and all the crap they do. And there's an example of, and boy, people really do feed those trolls because it's literally 40 of them.
Right.
That's as big as that church has ever been. And it's all family. Like there's nobody in there that's not. Mm-hmm. Nobody's buying into that garbage except people who have been brainwashed in their house. So my point is, I just watched that, and you're just like, man, one charismatic leader can sure jack up four generations of people to think some terrible things. And then I saw this and went, there are hints of that. It was much more. It was much more. What's the word I'm looking for? This movie in this viewing, and I've seen Footloose, I don't know, a dozen times, was way more nefarious this time because I just come off of that, and I really cringe when I get anything like, oh, we're going to burn books and that should be a normal thing to do, or I'm offended by this music, or I'm offended by these books or these lyrics or whatever, and I'm now going to impose a kind of social martial law on my community because I'm in a position of power and people respect that and therefore they're going to do it blindly or whatever. That kind of stuff really rubs me till I bleed. And I hate it. So for whatever reason, way more serious, viewing of this movie for some reason. That part of it really hit me hard. And I don't know why
it actually made me construct a whole trope to describe this thing. And I'm having a hard time like really piecing it all together, but it's this like I am the law sort of thing where, so you have Ariel, who by the way, named after a character in The Tempest who wants to break free and be herself.
Oh, look at you.
And of course that's how you got the name Ariel and
look at these dreams, look at my face.
Little Mermaid, thank you. Anyway,
I have no vagina unless I get
anyway,
human
so
legs.
Ariel lives in a world where
I just want to make a point that it rhymed.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Ariel lives in a world where she goes home and her dad is the law. She goes to church, her dad is the law. She goes to the freaking city council to try to, or school board or whatever it was, to try to get a change made. Guess where her dad is? Sitting right in the middle of it. And right. So because he is the law, this ridiculous trope where there's no higher power, when, for example, her ex-boyfriend punches her in the face, and I'm watching this for the first time, I'm like, oh, so now he's going to prison for 9 years. No, because as far as she knows, the only thing she's got to go to is her dad.
Yep, yep.
So she's not going to. And I'm like, wow, this guy just got off scot-free because he lives in Bizarro universe.
She goes to Bacon instead. That's where she got her comfort. And he said, oh, how's your eye feeling? She goes, it's better. And he goes, oh, that's good. And I'm thinking, that's it.
Yeah, now let's make out.
Now let's dance.
Yeah, they sure did brush over some of society's real ills in that town in favor of things that are fake. Yeah,
hey, if you get slapped in the span of like twice in a day, like day and a half, maybe you should rethink what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have jogged. And look, I know I keep making these references. That's what you get when a movie's filmed in my home state, okay? That's how it works. Mm-hmm. But I have jogged in the place where he beat her down. Like that little track over there, I've run around that thing a bunch of times.
You jog in place and look at it and go, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
she got hit.
Area of bloodstains someplace. Like some kind of creeper, but yeah. Anyway, but you're right. The violence on display and the kind of carelessness for like, well, if my no dance town is going to treat me this way, I'm going to stand in front of trains and hope Bacon saves me. I mean, these kinds of bits of behavior.
My life philosophy is I hope Bacon saves me. That's like my shirt.
It's pretty good. She could do a t-shirt all silhouette, which is a girl getting like grabbed
jumped
and thrown off. That's a great idea. Think geek. What are you doing? Anyway, that's great. What were we saying? I don't remember. There was a point to what Randy was saying. And
I didn't feel, you know what? John Lithgow did not bother me at all. It was the town folk that scared the crap out of me. All the way down to, you know, the kids that were in school that drove by and threw the brick into Kevin Bacon's little brothers and sisters room. That was like, what the
That was weird.
No kidding. And no repercussions there either. I mean, a lot of stuff like that with like, see, you brought this on. You're causing this, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, someone in a truck we don't know threw a brick through here and we're blaming it on you because you're an out of towner and you wear a skinny tie.
Stupid.
And
stupid.
The messy
aunts and uncle. Right. Whatever.
In TV tropes, that's called the rule abiding rebel, right? Like, so Ren, he's trying pretty hard to follow the rules.
Right.
And everything is getting heaped on him. Like, he literally has a guy force a joint into his hand right before a teacher comes in and harasses him for having a joint, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's trying so hard.
Yeah.
Like, well, how does this work in reality? It doesn't work in reality. It doesn't work like that.
That pot dealer pissed me off because I don't like any movies where it's all about last second timing and then everything looks like he's holding the bag. I can't stand it. It's cheap and it's a lazy way to make things happen in a movie. I don't like it.
He pissed you off. Now, is this Sarah Jessica Parker level pissing off, or is it on the piss off scale? Is this
what's the movie with Sarah Jessica Parker where she plays the girlfriend he's supposed to marry, but she doesn't work out.
Honeymoon in Vegas?
No, I actually like that movie a lot. No, it's something else, and it's more recent. And
every movie ever.
Oh, she's so cranky in it, and she doesn't like his family. Oh, I know. It's the one with Coach in it.
Failure to launch.
No. That's got naked Terry Bradshaw on it.
Okay, Family Stone. Family Stone.
That's it. I think that's it.
It is.
And she is. I hate her character so bad in that. I probably base a lot of my distaste for her on that role.
That's too bad because that's actually a good movie and that's actually a really like subtle and complicated role.
Oh, I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. That movie's great.
It's Claire Danes you should hate in that movie.
That's right. She's in that. Also, isn't someone else in that?
Are there some other actors or actresses in that movie as well?
There are some other worthy, performance. Okay, that's a good transition. Performances real quick. I think the reason this movie kind of holds up in some ways is there is some decent acting on display. I think Lithgow's good. I think his wife is good. I think Kevin Bacon's all right. And I think that the girl's all right.
I think Kevin Bacon's fantastic.
I think they sell it and it's fine.
Right.
So I don't mind any of that. In fact,
this is like my new favorite Bacon film.
Really?
True story. Since I've never seen it, I never had anything to compare it to.
I would argue that it's the most important role he ever played career-wise because it led to everything else, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It was hugely popular.
Yeah, because it wasn't Diner that really put him on the map. It was certainly
what? I haven't seen that either. What is that? Diner?
Diner. Great. Barry Levinson. Great. Oh, great movie.
Yeah, and probably the best Mickey Rourke movie you'll ever see, too.
Yep.
Diner.
Everybody's in that. Daniel Stern.
You know what term I hate?
What?
All-star cast.
Well, it's got one.
I heard a B-level character actor the other day coin a great phrase where he said, I'd rather be typecast than not cast. I thought that was great.
It's hey, good. What is this? I haven't seen. This is like a little mobster kind of film here.
No, not really. Actually, they look like mobsters just because they're all in suits. But
no, that's great.
Paul Reiser, Mickey Rourke, Daniel Stern, Steve Guttenberg.
Has a great, what would you compare it to? It's a great dialogue movie.
It is. It's like, that's exactly right. It's a lot
five
of
guys in the 20s.
Almost like a
hanging out in a diner.
Tarantino style.
Mm-hmm. Like sitting around at breakfast dialogue. With Mr. Pink and everybody.
Right.
Very similar to that. But Barry Levinson, who went on to do, Academy Award winning work with things like Rain Man. What's, I can't think of any others, but lots of other movies.
I miss?
Oh, Avalon, my favorite movie of all time.
Right. Yeah, Toys.
He's great. But that was like his breakthrough and those guys were all in it. And it's really good. You should totally, I don't even think that's sackable. That's just something to see.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm Netflixing it now, seeing if it's on there. I'm going to have to check it out.
Might not be. Streaming somewhere. It's got to be. Mm-hmm. And also, one more. So somebody brought up Mickey Rourke. I think it was Randy. And
who's gone now?
Is he gone?
All right. I don't know.
I see his picture.
I just heard him, didn't I?
His luxurious mustache and beard. I see it. Mm. I don't hear him, though.
Oh.
He says he's having the worst. Oh, he said he just had the worst lag ever.
How do you have the worst lag ever?
He's coming back.
What is it? Come out and smack you or something?
Well, maybe it was the longest moment of lag he's ever experienced in his life. What was I just going to say? Oh, okay. So you know how he looks weird now, right?
Kevin Bacon?
No. The guy we just said.
John Lithgow?
No.
Oh,
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke.
Kind of a weird, misshapen looking guy now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Another guy like that, I would say, is the guy who played, he was in, oh, geez, my brain is dead. I can't think of his name. He was in that Oliver Stone movie, the war one, the Platoon movie. Not
Tom Berenger?
Yes, thank you. Tom Berenger. Yeah. He used to be kind of a handsome dude.
Yeah, he does look really weird now.
He looks really weird
before you said Platoon, I was thinking, oh, he's probably going to say Tom Berenger.
You're totally right. The Substitute was his other movie I was thinking of.
But he looks, as he gets older, he gets tougher looking.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you guys need to watch, if you haven't seen it, that fantastic miniseries that was on History Channel with Bill Paxton and what's that? Names are leaving me today. Anyway, It's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh, yeah.
Hatfields and McCoys.
I actually started watching that.
It was fan-freaking-tastic. My gosh. It's so good. But he plays this uncle.
Barringer's in there, yeah.
And he won some awards for it. And I thought, well, let me see what's up here. And he is so... He's a horrible human being, but he is so good in that movie. My gosh. Totally worth seeing. So there's my other recommendation for today.
Yeah, we need to put one of his movies on the list. Like Shoot to Kill would be a great Barringer. Is that the one where he's the
You're not thinking of the substitute, right? Or you thinking of the one where he's a sniper?
I'm thinking of the one where he's with a group of people on a camping.
Oh yeah. Now, is this more recent one? Is this
No, this would have been 80s. This was definitely 80s.
80s or 90s, yeah.
And he's like in a camping, but he's
now,
the tough
is this
guy
the one?
Kind of hidden among them. Oh God.
I think I remember that one because I kept telling my friend, it's the guy with the hat. And then they end up killing him, and I still insisted that it was the guy in the hat. I remember this movie. What was this?
I don't know what this is, but I'll see
it. It wasn't Shattered, but that's another really good one to see.
Shattered?
Yeah, it's a good twisty-turny Hitchcock style.
I'm a Barringer fan, and I feel like that was one of those guys that got forgotten about when he got all ready looking.
He's
Uncle Jim Vance in this new thing, and he is so good.
So there's two Tom Barringer movies that are currently streaming that I'm vaguely interested in watching with you guys.
What's that?
One is The Dogs of War with Christopher Walken. Probably only because it's got Christopher Walken in it.
Sure.
And the only other thing that's not that even comes close for Film Sack is called Fear City.
Right.
Anyone?
No. You don't think The Substitute is any good for this?
Well, it's not streaming. I'm just talking about what happens.
Shoot to Kill. It is Shoot to Kill. Yeah, he's like the hikers. One of the hikers is a killer, and he's got to figure out which one is excellent.
They've remade that movie several times over.
Just called it different things.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Just call it call it Predators. We
does
just
this have
that.
Sidney Poitier in it?
Yes.
Oh, Sidney Poitier. Fantastic.
I'm going to bring some class to your movie.
I would watch any Barringer movie you threw in front of me, so that's fine. I like him a lot.
Fear City also
except for other the two that you mentioned.
Yeah. Other than that.
But Fear City has Billy Dee Williams. I don't know. Ray Dong Chong.
Oh. I haven't seen her since Commando.
Ray Dong Chong.
She's helping her dad now fight his weird pot thing.
Oh really?
Yeah, there's something going on with that.
Pot quack. Quack. Take care of you.
He's still got colon cancer or something. I don't know. There was something I was reading the other day where she was kicking in some help. Bringing him weed probably is what that means. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Kicking it.
Let's see. I own the soundtrack on tape. I just wanted to confess that.
Oh, yeah. I actually had the soundtrack.
Brian, who sings that?
Denise Williams.
Denise
Let's
Williams.
For the boy.
Yeah. Good stuff.
The one that really you didn't hear much about after this, or even before or during this, was the band that actually did that, the music for the iconic scene where he is angst dancing through the mill, the moving pictures never.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Because I think in the video for I'm Free, and this is purely by memory, the Kenny Loggins song I'm Free, I think the video uses a lot of that montage. And so you immediately associate that montage with Kenny Loggins, but it's
you're right. That video was their big way of advertising that movie on MTV.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
I had both Top Gun soundtrack and Footloose soundtrack, but I did not see either one of the movies.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Interesting. Phenomenal. Yeah.
You were tempted after listening to the music to say, oh, I wonder how this plays into the movie.
I'm kind of in the same spot. Like somehow I had a copy of The Girl Gets Around, and that got on many mixtapes that I made. Yeah. And I make
mixtapes for all the girls in school.
That's right.
No, for myself. No.
Oh, for yourself. Okay.
Jeez. Dear Candy,
showing up,
I love you.
Showing up after the weekend going, hey, check it out. Hey, Cindy, come here.
Cindy. There, I had like five or six classmates named Cindy.
Did you really?
But who would give a girl a mixtape with the song "The Girl Gets Around"? Oh my God!
that's
horrible.
That's so good.
That seems bad.
But like when they started playing that song in this movie, I was like, "Oh my God! I know that song so well!" And I had no idea it was written for this movie and soundtrack.
Oh wow! For me, it was the Back to the Future soundtrack that got the most play because I was a big Huey Lewis and the News fan.
Oh, the oldies on at the.
Bah, bah, dar, 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 dar.
Yeah.
Got to get back in time. And that and the other. Well. And even the.
like the actual theme. Oh, I could just hoverboard.
Right. That was a good soundtrack because it mixed. You had some score and you had some hits on there. You had the Johnny B. Goode version that isn't Michael J. Fox singing, but also isn't Chuck Berry either.
It's some other dude.
Right.
Session
musician number three.
We do not know that guy. All right. The only thing I'd say before we do clips would be this. The movie still kind of worked for me, and there was a new layer to it, which is I haven't seen it since my kids have kind of grown a little bit.
Right.
And the whole worrying so much about your daughter that you feel like your judgment is impaired sometimes because you want to overprotect. I totally know how that feels. So having been through that kind of on my own, going, you know, not that I made any bad decisions, like put a law through the town that you couldn't dance, right, for example, but I actually had moments where I'm like, I'm about to make a judgment call that's probably not a good one because I'm just paranoid that this party she's going to isn't nice, or that guy she's going out with is a douche, or that apartment she's moving into is weird at night, or, you know, all of these things have crossed my mind since the last time I saw Footloose, and I kind of understand where he's at.
You are so light years more involved. Like, that's the thing that I just kept choking on in this movie, was like this depiction of someone who has so much control, or, you know, fake control over their child's life, yet knows nothing about that child's life. It just doesn't ring true. Like, I really wanted, there's the scene right before the book burning where she's kneeling in the church, in the middle of the church, and she's screaming to her father, "I'm not a virgin." And I just wanted him to go, "I knew that." I mean, seriously, you think I don't know that? Yeah. But of course, yeah, the movie actually thinks he doesn't know that.
Yeah, they're you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's in a way, it's always bugged my kids because I know what they're listening to because I listen to it too. I had Facebook before they did. Yeah. I had Twitter before they did. I had a phone before they did. Like, they don't have any of these weird generational gap things to hold over my head ever. And that bugs them in some ways. But in other ways, that's just our attempt to say, no, we'd like to be as involved as possible. But still, there's that twinge of like, I don't like the look in that guy's eyes. He's a douche. I should have him killed. No, Scott, that's a bad idea.
Right. You know? You haven't creeped your kids out with the stories where you go, "Well, I know how that little weasel thinks because when I was his age."
Yeah.
Do you do that?
No, but I say to them, like, I have said, I know what boys are thinking about a lot. I go, it's just, right, it's part of our
dad's
our
it's what we do.
It's what we dad's do. Yeah, we're thinking about your boobies. All
right. Your problem is that you then got a boy coming up right behind him. So,
dude,
when you make that argument, you're like, I know what boys are, except that one. Well, maybe that one. I don't even.
Yeah, no, same issues. Like, you have the same problem. And I don't know. It's a roly poly thing, this parenting thing. And movies so simplify everything. But there were moments in this where I was like, I feel you there, John Lithgow. I feel you. But she's not jumping in front of any trains. She's not, you know, going out with a kid with a skinny tie, but still, you think about these things.
I honestly didn't even realize, having watched the film, until I went and read the summary,
yeah,
that she's supposed to be all broken up because her brother died.
That was kind of lost, yeah.
That was not at all well dramatized.
Maybe the special edition that the streaming version says we get and that we don't, maybe that has some of that in there. That's so weird. All right, let's get to some clips. We got a few. Here's some angry acting early from John Lithgow. Very short as well.
That I was bored? No!
Jesus, Mike. Do you think the director was like, dude, you're blowing the microphone?
Preaching is always angry. Preaching, by its very definition, is angry acting, isn't it?
Usually, yeah.
Be more angry!
Yeah. I like a nice, quiet... well, I'll tell you what I do like. Having set foot in a few... you know, I don't know services. What's the PC term for black churches now? I don't know what you say.
But I think it's too late for that, Scott.
Well, you go in, people know what I mean, but you go in there and it's all very, you know, it's
spiritual is what you're looking
a spiritual,
for.
Spiritual, yeah.
Gospel church,
sure, church. Whatever they call them. I've been in there in the South.
Focused, right, music-focused.
Beautiful, amazing music, right? Just nailing it. And they're always so much happier in there. You go to some 1,000-seat like white guy church in Denver.
We're so depressed.
You just want to stab yourself in the face.
I know which one you're talking about, too.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
White folks are the most depressing people you ever meet. That church was a representation of a lot of...
Oh, for sure, dude.
Sadly, of a lot
stodgy,
of places.
Stodgy, old, freaking flaky-faced old women just sitting around going...
Kids want to sleep.
All right, clip number two, weird way to say it.
Ren's going to be new at the high school tomorrow.
He's going to be new at the high school tomorrow.
He's going to be new at the high school.
I mean, new at the high school.
Does that seem a little weird?
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of instances in this movie.
He'll probably be new the next day, too. Right?
There was a lot of explaining dialogue in this movie. I didn't care for that.
Yeah, some of you don't need. It's filler.
Yeah, it's like we get it.
Product placement. Here's a nice 1984 product placement.
But I made you some of those Toll House squares, I promise. Oh. Lulu, you taste one of these, you'll burn your wrist.
Now, Toll House, it is a brand, right? Like Toll House.
Even more tasty when it's served out of a shoebox.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Toll House. They come in Toll a tube squares or something.
That was a relatively new thing, too.
Oh, I used to love those, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I could eat them now. Let's see. Won't someone think of the children?
If you ask me, Ren is a total fox.
Amy! Where did you hear that? Ethel, you see how television and those kinds of books influence children?
That's the worst. That guy's the worst.
Yeah, he really
being.
Is a bad actor.
I don't like his acting, and I don't like the guy he's playing so much so that I would have punched him instead of Chuck. Chuck was okay by me. At least Chuck had a cool boombox taped to the back of his truck.
Right, until he punched him.
Antlers. Yeah, and antlers. Well,
see, why did she, when she's got the metal pipe and she's busting everything up, I would have gone right for the antlers.
Sure. Yeah. To the antlers.
That took some work to put in there. You can replace a headlight in minutes.
Yeah, you hit that headlight and I went, 650. No big deal.
I just don't understand why she didn't go right to Chuck's little testicles with the pipe.
Right, yeah, good point.
His tiny testes.
His little tiny testicles.
Weren't they? And they are also... So the site of the fight, I think, was the site of the making out too. I think they were doing it under the bleachers over there.
Mm. Everything happened right there. That was action central.
Having sat in those bleachers, you don't want to be under there.
The one scene where she's talking about how her daddy doesn't like her wearing those big red boots, that was like next to a stream and a log or something.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, did he take a crap? Oh, you mean a wooden log?
You don't mean Chuck took a big old gnarly wet shit? That's not what you mean?
Okay. I don't. Maybe he did. A lot of things are coming into focus.
Right. Where did you hear that? What?
Where did you hear that?
Oh, I just kept that by itself.
Yeah.
Use that on the morning show, I think.
You need to use that like pretty much any time Brian says any fact.
Yep.
You just play that. Clip.
Here's a thing that nobody ever says in school to anyone else.
Oh, shit, mister, where are you going? Son of a bitch, you're supposed to look.
Shit, mister.
Shit, mister, where are you going?
I want to know, what is a shit mister? Sounds like a superhero. What is his powers, Brian?
There was a beautiful trope portrayed right there.
There was? What did we miss?
Yes.
Instant friends.
Oh, right.
Instant. Talk.
Right. Like, you're talking back to me. I'm either going to punch you in the face or I'm going to appear in a learning to dance montage with you later.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but this was typical of small schools like where I went to. I mean, there was almost always an altercation at least once or twice a day at school with somebody running into somebody.
Yeah, but nobody went, yeah, did you get that? What, did they make men's clothes where you bought that hat and then suddenly that standoff meant you were good?
What's your name? I like you.
No, you'd be surprised. Okay, sure. It was oversimplifying what happened, but this happened a lot. You would get to an argument with somebody, then there'd be like tension and it would go all the way through. Then you'd get in a fight after school. And those two people that would get in a fight, they would end up being best of friends.
But not often. Often you would have one altercation and then be enemies until you graduated from high school. And you still aren't friends with that guy on Facebook. Like, seriously. Most people.
It's a rare thing, I agree. But I did have, there were a few, I knew of a few cases where you would make up. It just was never this simple and it didn't take place in 2 minutes. Like, ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a movie. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, they're going to save their time for the dance montage later. Let's see.
By the way, could anyone edit with very, very little work, edit that teaching Chris Penn to dance montage into something very Brokeback Mountain?
I could have done it.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're really just put another song in the background of that one.
The Brokeback Mountain song.
Slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like the part where he's pulling him by a rope and he just turns around.
Oh, my
gosh.
Gives him a gentle kiss on the cheek. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it was all over the gym and out in the football field.
I think you spent more time dancing with Chris Penn in the gym or in the prom thing because they had their little. Their choreographed dance. I think he spent more time dancing with Chris Penn than he did with Laurie Singer.
Yeah, that thing at the end seemed way shorter than I remembered it being.
Footloose is code.
Yeah.
The thing about it is taking it at face value, that whole Brokeback Mountain montage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that it just shows how what a nice guy Ren is. Like, Ren is just such a good guy.
Sure.
And that, for some reason, was a bridge too far. Like, at some point, I was afraid he was going to be like, I don't know, falling in with the preacher or something. Like,
Well, he did. They had that whole discussion where they sat down and talked and everything.
Well, he asked his daughter to the dance.
If you come backwards and say, okay, put yourself in 1984, I guess he was a smoker, so that makes him like really like edgy.
Right.
But now it doesn't at all.
Put me in 84, no problem. That's when Temple of Doom came out. I'm in. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Like, all the things that were edgy about Ren no longer are, and so it was really hard to get yourself.
He was softened up quite a bit for that. And also, I thought it was a law against public dancing, and they were public dancing all over the place together. Two dudes in a small town, public dancing constantly. Yeah,
I mean, a couple of dudes dancing, that's fine.
They're in the middle of town. They're in the middle of the street. They're at the park. They're at the school.
They're in the gym. They're on the field doing their little turn around and run, and then go face forward and run, and then turn around and run.
And he wasn't really good by the end. He wasn't very much of a dancer. He kind of just spazzed out at the end.
Right.
He was he taught him how to mosh.
And again, I think the real Chris Penn was just a dumbass.
Yeah, he might have been. Yeah.
They're just like, you just ad lib all your lines, whatever.
He was taking some pills during that scene.
Okay, probably.
Waxing? I don't know what this is.
On the way to the car, she's already got her tongue in my ear.
Oh, gross. I guess I wrote wax because of the ear reference. Gross. Now I don't know. Why? I don't know.
Why? When was that ever sexy?
It was never sexy.
Never sexy.
It's never good.
You ever had it done to you?
Look, Brian, I've got.
I have a dog, but no.
I had it happen in high school, and let me tell you something. I think I had a full-on nativity scene in my ear full of wax at the time she did that.
Well, let me tell you something. If you actually wash your ears, people.
And by the way, that's a reference to a MASH episode where
was it?
Radar is looking. I think he's looking in Colonel Potter's ear, and he goes, oh, and he goes, what? He goes, oh, and he goes, what? And he goes, it's like a little nativity scene in there. One of my favorite moments in MASH.
So disgusting.
Let's see, waxing. Who's on? Here's their who's on first moment in the movie. There was a couple of these. Here.
You like men at work?
Which men?
Men at work.
Where do they work?
No, they don't. They're a music group.
What do they call themselves?
Oh, no. Well, what about the police?
What about them?
You heard them?
No, but I've seen them.
See, it's just
the best response. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, they didn't write a script for Chris Penn. That is the actual Chris Penn.
What do they call themselves? Oh, no.
Oh, no. Really? Stupid.
Yes. No.
All right, here's something you don't hear in movies now.
I thought only pansies wore neckties.
Oh, yeah. See that? I thought only assholes use the word pansy.
Oh!
What?
City boy, slow down.
That wasn't even a burn.
No,
I know.
It wasn't. The only burn part was him getting in his car.
Well, it shows you how wrong you are. Okay, have a good day.
Okay, we'll see you next time for our next confrontation. All right, here's Lithgow enforcing things.
It's kind of hard to impose a curfew on the young people of my congregation that I can't even enforce in my own home.
Don't like the word impose.
That was a long way to go to make the point.
Yeah. Sure. The word impose makes me angry. I don't like that. I do. I realized the other day, I said this on Twitter. Basically, it comes down to this. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like it. Never have.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Is that why Sarah Jessica Parker bothers you so much? Does she kind of get like the bossy?
No, it's not that, but it's the reason I don't know. I just don't. I'm happy to let people be whoever they want to be, but when they start telling me how to be, that bugs me.
You're like a teenager that never grew up, Scott.
Kind of, in a way. Yeah. I've never liked that.
The thing is, nobody wants to be told what to do.
No, not even people who are telling other people what to do.
Except for those guys who rent, you know that.
Look at Hitler. He told everybody what to do. Do you think Hitler liked being told what to do? No. I guarantee he didn't.
You just Godwinned our discussion here, and I don't even know how to respond.
It always comes back to the war. All right, Chris Penn's laugh. Here you go. He's high on set, dude. the things I listen for. All right, how about this one? Have some cake.
Why don't you have some cake?
I like that part because it was all those little flaky ladies.
You don't eat until you listen to me talk for a few minutes. Okay, now you can eat your cake.
Yeah.
Right. Was that weird through the town montage he did starting a story?
Yep.
place mm-hmm. and everybody is young and they get eventually just all are very old and eating cake.
Yep, he gets invited to everything. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. That's a great way to think of it. These kids started listening to him and now
me to death.
He preached them all to death. Yep. I like that reality way better than what they were trying to show. All right, here we go. Let's see. People like this area. Oh, people like this are the dangerous ones, is what I wrote. It's that guy that burned books.
This was found in one of the athletic lockers over the school. A book like this should be burned. We should go to the library and remove this corruption from the shelves.
Ugh, if that guy's what? Real, you want to kill that guy.
What are the jocks reading?
The thing in is, their athletic jock lockers?
And the thing is, Scott, this is one of those like scandals that doesn't hold up. Because I'm like, oh, okay, you're burning some books. Yawn. Like,
yeah.
That was such a big deal before the internet, I guess. Yeah. The idea of banned books. I'm like,
right.
Kids can look at hardcore porn on the internet.
It was always the slippery slope of what book burning was. I mean, that was always the idea. That was the scary.
It's a symbol because at mm-hmm. the time, I mean, in Nazi Germany, back to Hitler,
right?
They would burn that stuff because those were it. Those were the books, and there wasn't some archive somewhere. There was perhaps, you know, master prints or plates somewhere, but that was it. So now to do this, you'd have to say, "I'm going to destroy all. I'm going to EMP the world, and the entire internet's going to crash in there. There's my giant book burning." But
I think we should burn the internet. I think we should do it.
Even that. Then I got hard drives.
Good idea.
I got my copy of. What was the movie or the book he was the Vonnegut book he was talking about?
Slaughterhouse Five.
Yeah, I got a copy.
And
of
there,
that on my Kindle.
And again, I'm all stumped. Like, why Slaughterhouse Five? Mm-hmm. What is so? I mean, I realize it's anti-war, and it's a little liberal, but nothing like.
No, it's not like reading Hunter S. Thompson book or something.
Well, I think that was the point. It was kind of like the title. I think it was his pick for his title mostly because the title sounds. Terribly aggressive.
How can I remember Kurt Vonnegut and Hunter S. Thompson, but I couldn't remember
Kevin Costner?
What the hell, yeah. Dude?
Because Kurt Vonnegut wasn't in Waterworld.
Oh, Waterworld's so good. I got my yearly viewing's about time. I got to get this going. Thanks for the reminder. You ever seen Paper?
Sorry.
Okay. Here we go. You're so stupid.
You're so stupid.
All right, there you go. Just put that out there.
That's all you get.
Here's the box moment. I like this part.
I still get the box? Huh? Give me the box.
What's in the box?
There you go.
What was the box moment?
She handed him her music box. I don't know why. Did you nod off during that part? It was kind of dumb. It didn't really matter.
It was very easy to nod off on too because it was like, what was the box has to have to do anything?
If your girlfriend in high school gave you a music box, you'd just be like, ugh, what am I doing?
Well, basically it was like, yeah.
Go back into the back of a closet and sit until I give it to some other girl.
When I wasn't teaching dudes how to dance, I was in shop making this box for you.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Basically. Yeah. My brother made, I can tell you guys about the chessboard my brother made with had an extra row of squares on it.
Oh my God.
And we played chess on it too.
Oh.
So it was only one direction. It was only one direction. It wasn't like bigger by squares on all sides. It was just long
eight
wise.
By nine,
yeah.
Yeah.
So he had, just amount of spaces to put your dudes, but there was this extra square. And I realized playing chess a whole bunch on that board with him, my Korean brother.
You played a lot on it?
Yeah, we played a lot and it ruined my touch with chess. I used to be pretty good at chess and that ruins it because now you got this extra space. It completely changes the game.
Yeah, it's ruining my brain right now.
I can't believe we did it.
This idea is killing me.
I used it for a long time. All right. I don't know why either. It's not like you couldn't get another one. I don't know what we were doing there.
You could draw a chessboard on a piece of paper.
I guess we could have.
This is so stupid.
All right. What the hell is a scream?
What the hell is that?
Oh.
Worst dad ever.
That uncle guy was the worst.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Oh,
let's dance.
Sorry, that's Fletcher. I snuck him in. There's more too, but he's in there. There's him.
Burn in hell. This says burn in hell.
This brick says burn in hell on it.
What does that mean, burn in hell?
He's the worst. That guy's the worst. He just told Kevin Bacon how he's going to burn in hell, and now he doesn't know what it means.
Who cares about the shattered glass on my daughters? You're bringing this stuff to my doorstep and making your mom lose her job.
Yeah, your aunt's got lost her job. We weren't going to tell you.
That guy's the worst. So when you deal with it, you have to do this.
Leaping and dancing.
Leaping and dancing. And then finally, oh no, wait, two more.
Don't you talk like that in here!
Some angry acting.
Oh yeah, that was the scene I was talking about where she tells him she's not even a virgin anymore.
And then a thing
about your vagina in church. I'm pretty sure this.
Oh yeah, totally. You're not allowed, I don't think. Here's a thing that even in 1984, I knew we didn't say. This is something I never heard any teenager say the entire time I was one. And everyone I have,
what I hope it is,
everyone I've ever observed, this is what I've never heard one of them say this once.
Jump back.
Jump back.
Jump back.
Get out.
Who says that? All right. Thank you, Chris Penn. And that can only mean one thing. It's time for the checklist. Here we go. Makeshift truck stereo by duct taping your boombox up against your back window. Check. Naked ass man in a conversational shower scene. Check. The bad guy has a change of heart. Check. And finally, there is no basement in the Lehigh Roller Mills. Check. That was BS. There's no basement there.
None in the Alamo either.
No. See? I told you.
Probably not sufficient toilets for a group of 60 or 70 teenagers.
No, I think there's one on the premises, and that's the truth. And it's always covered in a fine powder of white.
Flour.
I actually pooped there once, and that's the truth. Let's see. Star Trek connections. We got one. Or got a bunch here from Daryl.
We need a map.
Yeah, totally. I really did. I pooped on the site of that place. Max Cleven is a stunt coordinator in TOS. He played Achilles in the episode Bread and Circuses, one of the worst episodes in Star Trek history. John Roche was a Foley artist. He was uncredited. He did Foley work for this. He was also the Star Trek, the motion picture Foley artist, also uncredited. Boy, that guy got a lot of credit for his work. Let's see. Jim Hendrickson, he was music editor, did some stuff for TOS. Donna Garrett did stunts. She was a double in TNG and TOS. And then finally, Anthony Milch. Was sound editor, uncredited, but was credited as sound editor for Star Trek First Contact.
Why does the name Milch just sounds like a deviant sex act? I don't know why.
The old Spanish Milch.
You into a little milching?
Yeah.
See, you just fixed it.
Yeah. I don't want to know what that
looking
is.
Looking at the Urban Dictionary right now.
It's probably in there, dude.
I'm looking.
Don't look up GURP again. Don't remind me what that is.
C-H, Milch.
Oh, don't say. Don't say. You can't say what it is.
Let's see. She was so the way you use so it's a hot older woman.
Okay.
Oh my god.
The sentence is she was probably about 40 years old but had a great looking she was a total milch.
Had a great looking.
I don't know what the difference is between a
How are you spelling it? How are you spelling
because
it?
It's not F.
No, nice. You're looking at MILF. That's funny.
No, I was looking at MILF. No, instead of MILF with an F, a mother I'd like to. It's a mother I'd like to CH. And if you think of the Beavis and Butthead.
Gosh. Oh, you're killing me. Make it stop. Just
you're like we're playing a game of $20,000 pyramid here, the way you're describing this thing.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's like, okay, like if Beavis and Butthead and Beavis says this all the time.
I need this. So he needs
TP for his what? TP for his what? He is who then? Oh, that's fantastic. Where's Dick? Where's Dick? Dick, who hosted that show? Dick somebody. Who hosted 20,000?
Dick Clark.
Dick Clark. Okay. If it was Kurt Vonnegut, I would have remembered. All right. Soundtrack grade for this film, I would give it an R for rad. I like the 80s vibe. I was fine with it. I think it was fun. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a thing that's trapped in time, but I still.
Yeah, it's the centerpiece.
Let's Hear It for the Boy back then, but I like it now. And Holding Out for Hero, it's like these are things you start to like because of their nostalgia, maybe not so much at the time.
Even Footloose, even the song Footloose got me going a little bit.
Whatever the heck those lyrics are, yeah.
Twitter post time. It's where you guys do 140 characters or less and you sum up the film in said manner. Let's start with Randy.
Footloose. Ironclad proof that in a repressed little Utah town where dancing is against the law, if you just hold a dance, you'll find out that half of the kids in town are actually expert level dancers.
Oh my god. Wait till you hear mine.
So perfect.
All right. Hold on, because Dunaway, go Dunaway.
Good. I didn't go that direction at all. All right. Footloose. Like having frosted cakes and a big old Thanksgiving turkey at a prom. It may be overkill, but bacon makes it better. Now go home and sit in judgment of yourselves.
That's awesome. I'll do that. All right. Brian Ibbett, what do you got?
Footloose. Kevin Bacon plays a teenager who has been dumped into a podunk town that has banned rock music and dancing, yet is full of amazingly talented teenage dancers.
Oh, no.
Very
way.
Good.
True story.
Very oh, good. Man. Thank you.
Do you guys great mind minds. Meld overnight or what?
Jeez. No, but that, I mean, that was the thing that really yeah. stuck out to especially me at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Brian's shown himself to be a prophet today, and he's going to do it one more time as I now utter the words of the alternate title. This movie should have been called, quote, Quentin Tarantino would have really liked that opening shoe montage. I wrote that yesterday. So way to go, Brian.
That's awesome.
You picked everybody today. It's fantastic. We have emails. We get them at filmsack@gmail.com, and we're happy to do that. Here's one from Ben who wrote and says, hey, guys, been catching up on old shows and listening to the one about Broken Arrow. I noticed you didn't do a Star Trek connection to Christian Slater. Was this because he was uncredited? He had a cameo in Star Trek VI, and that's true, he did. Also, and chance, I think he means by chance. By chance, could you send he audio file or the audio file for Halt Sinners? I think he's writing this on his
Halt
phone.
Sinners?
My phone is in need of a ringtone and a better typist. Just kidding. I'll send that to you. But yeah, the thing that Daryl uses is literally like a machine, and it scours these movies for connections. And if they were not credited, it doesn't always cough them up. And if we don't remember,
like,
we know.
Daryl himself like is literally a like a machine.
He really is like a machine.
So he's got some kind of, he doesn't have a program. Yeah. No, not a program that runs on a computer. He has a total machine that goes calculating, calculating.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Just like the old computer in the old Star Trek. He's a talented guy, finds a lot of cool stuff, and resembles Dale from Breaking Bad. All right. Next up, we got Tom Walter, who wrote in and says, I have two first names. Fellers, Days of Thunder is streaming on Netflix, and I think it's worth sacking. I see it as this spiritual successor to Top Gun and would enjoy. It's also a Tony Scott gig, right? He directed it.
Yeah.
Same as Top Gun. And would enjoy listening to your take on the movie. It stars Tom Cruise as a maverick. I see what he did there. Stock car driver. And Michael Rooker puts in a good performance as a prick.
It's true.
He says.
Let me add a cock hole.
By the way, when I was growing up, prick was the worst thing you could call somebody. For whatever reason, it took on significant pejorative qualities when I was growing up.
Was that worse than shit mister?
Oh yeah. Shit mister was a guy who brought shit manure to the farm. He was fine. Hey, we're it's almost harvest time. Where's the shit mister?
I just have to come back to this. If we're going to watch a driver racing movie, it's going to be Driven starring Sylvester Stallone.
I think this guy's on Days of Thunder. I think that's a fantastic
movie. Have you seen Driven?
Driven's great. I think we theme it and do two in the same month. Yeah. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? I'm fine with that. Yeah. So what's the point? Oh, Michael Rooker is awesome. That was the point. next movies. We got a couple of them here coming up. The Rundown, Four Rooms, and Event Horizon in that order. The Rundown I'm super stoked about.
Oh, yeah.
That's next week. Yeah. Should be good.
Dude. Everybody's seen The Rundown before, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Not Brian?
No.
Nope.
Brian
Hibbert. I'm going to be a Rundown virgin.
You're going to love it. See, this is a movie I would, on the surface, it's almost easy to say we shouldn't sack it because I actually think it's awesome. It's awesome.
Right.
But it's got so much great crap in it. It's so good.
It's actually craptastic.
No, I think it's great. I think it's genuinely a good movie. And it's my favorite thing The Rock ever did. So I'm stoked to do this movie because there's also plenty of goofball in it and plenty of walk-in and everybody else. So watch for that, The Rundown, Four Rooms, and Event Horizon. Then we get Event Horizon kind of kicks off our Halloween month of horror movies.
Scare Sack.
Which should be good. Scare Sack, everybody. join us online and visit us on the web because you know you want to. That place to go over there is filmsack.com. You can also email us. filmsack@gmail.com. What was I doing there with the at? filmsack@gmail.com. Kevin Costner, everybody. Kevin Costner. Twitter, you can find us at filmsack. And leave us a review on iTunes. We love that stuff. We love hearing from you guys. We would always appreciate more. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Jack, get back. Come off your whole wheat crack.
Is that it? Is that what we're going with?
Jump. Come off your whole wheat crack.
All right, I'm in.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. audio program so good, it's like you're there.
That's because he's so shifty.